We return to Pakistan now, which is reeling from the devastating floods caused by monsoon rains. Pakistani officials estimate that 1 in 7 people in the country have now been impacted. At least 1,000 people have been killed since June. UNICEF says 1/3 of them were children.
Across Pakistan, communities have been reduced to this: skeletal remains of buildings washed away by historic flooding since mid-June. In the southeastern Sindh province, Rehan Ali and his family are among the millions digging through the debris of what was once their home.
I don't know how to rebuild my destroyed house. I don't have anything to feed my family. I lost everything. I don't know where to go. God help me.
More than 33 million people have been affected by flooding this summer alone, leaving 1/3 of the country submerged. Higher than normal rainfall inundated spots along the Indus River, running the length of the country from the Tarbela Dam in the north to the riverside city of Khotri in the south. Over the weekend, Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif was seen dropping supplies from a helicopter, part of a military relief mission in the hard-hit Balochistan province. He also announced a new relief package.
From the central government, I announce a grant of 10 billion rupees for the Balochistan province. The National Disaster Management Authority, along with provincial government, will plan relief works.
But even with more funding on its way, many people are feeling abandoned by their government.
We are looking towards the government to provide some sort of relief to us. We don't have food to eat. We don't have shelter to sleep in, no clean drinking water. I urge the world to come save us.
Nearly 300,000 homes have been destroyed in the deluge so far, leaving millions scrambling for shelter. 500,000 people have piled into relief camps set up in government buildings. Others have taken to staying on roadsides. The flooding is being fueled by a relentless monsoon season, with rainfall measurements coming in at 3 times higher than the 30-year nationwide average. These extreme weather events are exacerbated by rising temperatures in the country. Pakistan's top climate official is referring to the events as a, quote, serious climate catastrophe and warning about the road ahead. And the climate emergency's impact reaches further than just property, causing large-scale damage to crops and infrastructure. Economic losses could top $10 billion, the country's planning minister said today. That includes this date farmer, Abdul Latif Jagidani, whose harvest is a total loss.
The date crop is harvested once a year. We worked very hard and spent a lot of money on the farm this year and hoped for a very good crop and to earn a good profit from it. But these rains ruined all our hopes. Nothing could be saved.
Roads and highways across the country have been rendered impassable, too.
This flood devastated our network at many locations. Now, our strategy is that initially we have to temporarily restore the traffic flow, and then after that, its permanent rehabilitation will take time.
Pakistan is calling for international support. Countries, including Turkey, have sent rescue teams. Meanwhile, Pope Francis addressed the suffering during a sermon in Italy over the weekend.
I pray for the many victims, for the injured and the evacuated, and so that international solidarity will be prompt and generous.
For more on the floods in Pakistan, I spoke earlier today with Sara Hayat, a lawyer specializing in climate change and an adjunct professor at the Lahore University of Management Sciences. I began by asking her who in Pakistan is hardest hit.
Well, pretty much all provinces are hit at some level or the other. And the country itself, all of Pakistan, really. 1 in 7 Pakistanis are sleeping out in the open these days. That is the scale of devastation, really. So in 2010, Pakistan was hit with what were called the super floods. At that point, 20 million people were left homeless. The kind of destruction that we faced was unprecedented. But these floods are worse than those in terms of scale and the kind of devastation they are posing.
Sara, what can you tell us about the government response or any kind of aid? Has that been able to make its way to anyone in the country?
Pakistan has made calls for aid, and we have responses. The United Kingdom, the United States, the United Arab Emirates have all offered aid and are sending it. Turkey has sent relief workers. They're on the ground in Pakistan right now, working with the government and the army. Everybody's donating whatever they can, organizations, companies. And the idea is to collect it and get it into trucks to deliver on the ground The problem there, though, is that because of these floods, we've lost thousands of kilometers of road submerged entirely underwater. We've lost a lot of bridges. So some parts of the country are literally severed. We cannot access them.
Sara, when so many people have been impacted to the degree they have, one out of every seven people, as you said, now sleeping out in the open, give us a sense of the need. What is it like there on the ground for people right now?
There has been some coverage of food packets being thrown from helicopters. This is very inequitable because when people are hustling to get to these packets, they trip, they fall, they hurt themselves, they fight amongst themselves. And when food and aid is distributed from thrown from trucks, women never get them. So it's a very gender sensitive issue. We need medicines on the ground. There are reports of waterborne diseases, diarrheal infections that are coming from relief camps. We need basic necessities. These people have lost everything. Everything, all they have are the wet clothes that they're wearing that are sticking to their bodies pretty much. And hygiene products for women, those are becoming a problem and women are in desperate need of those as well.
We should mention, too, it's not just Pakistan that's seen devastating floods so far this year, right? We've seen floods in Bangladesh and in India as well. What, broadly speaking, is going on the subcontinent?
It's scary, really. It's what we're seeing and what it's doing to people. Climate change is definitely one of the driving forces behind the kind of floods that we received in Pakistan this time. And the temperature rise in the global south, especially in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, this region is higher than the rest of the world. And unless we control or curb climate change or global warming at this point, the temperature increase will be much. Right now, it's 1.2 degrees higher. By the end of the century, we're expecting this part of the planet to be about 1.5 degrees warmer than global average. Pakistan gets monsoon rains every year, and they are devastating. But we get about 3 to 4 monsoon cycles annually. This time we have 8 cycles already. We've had those and we're expecting more cycles. In the last 30 years, the average rainfall this year is about 400% more than the last 30-year average. So, I mean, you get a sense of what's happened. The second is glacial melt. As you know, that this part of the world holds the third largest glacial ice mass on the planet, nearly 8,000 glaciers in this part of the world. Those glaciers are receding because of climate change and global warming. And what that's doing is it's causing flash floods. It's causing glacial lake outburst floods. And all that water is coming downstream.
Based on the trends you've seen, based on the action or inaction you've seen, do you see more floods, more flooding, more damage like this ahead?
And Pakistan is the 10th, is almost always in one of the top 10 most impacted countries by climate change. And so we are, and because this region is going to be very hot also and is getting very hot, I think it's fair to assume that we will be seeing more floods and more natural disasters themselves. But that said, I do want to put it out there that Pakistan is not responsible for climate change. The global greenhouse gas emissions from the country are less than 0.8% of global greenhouse gas emissions. That's negligible. That's nothing. The only problem is that we aren't contributing to it, but we're facing the brunt of it because of our own vulnerability. And we need the developed world to step up.
Sara Hayat joining us tonight from Lahore, Pakistan. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.